No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. I'm in here, in this bitch,
yes, sir,
with Casey Veggies. Mr. Vegetables.
Oh, man.
How you feeling?
Feeling great, man. Feeling great.
Feeling good. Feeling great. I just had something random on my mind, so I'm going to run with it.
All right.
I was watching The Wire last night, yeah. That's like my thing now, is I'm just fucking crushing through every single episode. And one of the cops was in a shootout, and he had a cigarette. He lit a cigarette in the middle of the shootout.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, I'm like, that seems so unrealistic to me because I don't smoke cigarettes like that. You smoke cigarettes? Just weed?
Yeah.
Okay. But I was thinking about that. I'm like, that's insane.
Hey, that's like intense. You know how movies, they got to make it extra dramatic.
right.
They got to add that edge to it. But I get it. Now, that shows a lot of courage, a lot of heart.
It shows that you're really with the shits. If your nerves need that source of like calming so bad that you just light up a cigarette. You ever like smoking a blunt and then you end up doing something totally out of the ordinary to be smoking a blunt during, and it just seems hilarious to you or just kind of badass? Like, for instance, the other day, my friend, his car got hit by four drunk ass girls, and one of them like popped out of the car and she was smoking a blunt. And that just seems so much funnier that she was just fucking, she was like, just
openly just smoking.
If you're smoking a blunt, you're relaxed. Like, you really fully. You're supposed to be chilling.
Yeah.
She was not chilling. She was driving around drunk as fuck, hitting people.
Tripping.
Anyway, that's what's been on my mind.
She was on some shit.
Anything come to mind, like a time you ever smoked a blunt when?
It seems like when I was younger, bro, every time in high school, every time I would smoke, and I really wasn't supposed to be smoking back then. And every time I would smoke, I'd get paranoid, and then something crazy would happen. It's like every time you get paranoid, it's like something really happens. Like, I don't get it. It was like, yeah, high school, middle school used to be weird, like, especially them times where moms didn't know I was smoking.
Exactly.
I was at school. I got suspended one time doing some stuff, like, just stuff I shouldn't have been
doing. So much shit you take for granted that you can do. Like, for instance, you're an adult. You can just fuck a girl, your girlfriend, a girl you just met, whatever. You can just have sex.
Freedom.
When I was in high school, holy shit, me and my girlfriend wanted to just fuck all, like, hook up all the time, whatever. And my parents were not making it easy.
Couldn't see it. Yeah, like, that's what I be thinking about when I had a girlfriend in high school. Like, we could not see each other all the time. It was like, nowadays, it's like, man, I could pull up, do whatever I want. It's like, I be thinking back to high school days where it's like, yeah, I didn't have all that freedom. You know what I'm saying? Now we got it.
We take it for granted how great being an adult is. Like, think about this. You could go to a strip club any given night of the week.
Yeah.
Spend whatever, like $50, $100. Yeah. You gotta spend a little bit of money. But like, if you were a little kid and you were telling your 14-year-old self, like, you could just go to the strip club, bro. You could just be in there. You could be feeling on all kinds of augmented asses, bro.
Imagine being 18, signing that record deal. Just like, you know what I'm saying? Trying to really figure out just kind of going crazy, but not trying to go too crazy. You know
I take
what
it for granted that I didn't have the opportunity to truly wild out. And I forget that a lot of times when I'm interviewing a younger person. You forget like how much shit they saw at such a young age and how fucking insane it must be to go through that when you have so little life experience. That's how you feel about your career arc early on?
Yeah, like it was just like, it was a rush. You feel me? I had to jump into it head first. Like, I didn't really have time to sit and think like what's going on. It was just like, go. then like a few years later, I took a step back to really like soak everything in. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It was crazy, bro.
You want to know the first time I ever heard about you?
What?
This is actually a really weird way to fucking hear about you, but this is when I was still on the East Coast, I believe. It was like maybe 2010 before I made my way out here. So I was way less up on like the new hot rappers, but I was listening to the Joe Budden podcast. I don't know, did you ever hear about this? And he just goes, he was dying laughing. He thought it was so funny that there was a rapper named Casey Veggies and Anwar Carrots.
Yeah.
He was dying over it.
He was crying.
And that's what made me go listen initially.
Yeah, I met Joe Budden a while ago.
Did he mention that?
No, he probably, I mean, a lot of people probably was surprised when they heard the name. So
yeah.
I get that a lot, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But
I just thought it was funny that
hip hop is like, it's not common, you know what I'm saying?
But he's an old head. He wasn't ready for the new age. He probably is even more so.
Joe Budden always showed me love. Every time I see him, he saluted me. Like, I think he respected music, so.
Right.
Love.
I mean, and that I've heard his friends actually say that about him, that he's the type of person who will just hate relentlessly on whatever the trend is or whatever the new shit is. But he don't really, he's not really hating on it, he's just hating on it because he's not up on it yet. Yeah. You know, he probably.
But then when he hear the music, if he fuck with it, he'll show love.
I imagine he respect you.
It depends on if he fuck with the music or if he respects the artistic value. But, you know, sometimes he do got to be more open, I guess, to the new school. You know, it is what it is.
Definitely. We got to get, right now, right here, we got to get, like, the full story of where Casey Veggies came from, the come up, the whole story. Because you got a very interesting vantage point on a lot of important shit that has happened in this wild-ass L.A. rap scene.
Yeah.
So where exactly did you grow up?
I grew up, I was born in L.A., grew up like in Inglewood, California.
Okay.
So, yeah, I went to school in Inglewood, went to Crenshaw High School, ninth grade, and then I graduated from Inglewood High. Uh-huh. After that, I was playing basketball all through high school. I met Tyler, the Creator, eighth grade, going into ninth grade. We met, we started doing music together.
So this is pre-Odd Future?
Yeah,
this before is like the name?
Pre-Odd Future. Like, the name came at like 13 years old. We had, me and the homies, you know, we started like a brand called P's and Cares International. Uh-huh. And then from there, you know, we all came up with the names. You know, it just went with the brands. The vegetables is good for the mind, body, and soul.
But was this pre-rapping?
This is like, nah.
Or did it all kind of come together?
Like, when I started rapping, my first name was Custom. And then I switched it up. After that, I'm like, nah, that's not it.
I got reminded of that by Nardwar when I was watching the interview yesterday.
So I was just like, you know, the Peas and Carrots brand, I'm like, you know what? They was like, how about we run with the veggies? You know, Casey Veggies. I'm like, you know what? That sound kind of dope. Mm-hmm. And I was 13. I'm just like, yo, let's run with it.
13.
And then I started doing music. I went to my first year at Crenshaw High. I recorded my first mixtape, Customized Grady Volume 1. We had Tyler on it. We was doing music together. That's when he was first, like, starting the whole Odd Future concept. Mm-hmm. It was like a magazine. Odd Future
magazine.
At
first, it was supposed to be a magazine.
Yeah, like, his first idea for it was like a magazine.
That's crazy.
And then from there, he turned it into, like, a rap group. And then, I mean, stuff started going crazy. I dropped that first tape. We was, like, more on MySpace with it. Uh-huh. Just promoting on MySpace, like, word of mouth through the city. I already knew a lot of people in L.A. I was, like, the young dude that knew a lot of the older cats and stuff like that. We had a clique called Priceless. Uh-huh. So from Priceless, we was already, like, we already knew everybody in the city. And then from there, we just started promoting my music. And then all the high schools, everybody started to catch on. Tyler started doing his thing. He dropped the Bastard album back then.
Okay, so he was really cracking by that point.
We dropped the Odd Future tape, Volume 1, around that same time.
So you were still with Odd Future at that point?
Like really, Odd Future was more of just like a concept. It wasn't like, all right, we're a rap group. It was like, we was just all young. We was homies. He had the idea. We made music together, but it wasn't like a group yet. You get what I'm saying? It was more like we all homies. We all following the same dream.
And everybody that we associate with Odd Future was around at this time? Had it fully formed?
Yeah, mostly everybody, but not like obviously like Frank Ocean wasn't around yet.
Yeah.
Like everybody was around though, like Haji B's, Damo Genesis, you know, everybody, Sid, Matt, the Internet. Uh-huh. You know, it was dope. We had a whole collective, but like me and Tyler pretty much was starting out together like early on. Like we started making songs together, recording. He used to live like down the block, so we used to just link up, do songs together, and then just go about our business and stuff like that.
Did you? When did you start to like realize that this was huge and that this was going way beyond, you know, anything that you would ever be able to normally expect like a kid in high school to be able to be a part of?
Probably like around the time I dropped a few more tapes. I kept coming every year. Like 10th grade, I had another
eight tapes.
Yeah, we got like eight to ten underground mixtapes.
Oh, not eight of you, but like Odd Future had eight tapes.
No, I had eight mixtapes.
Okay.
Through in high school, like from ninth grade going all the way like 12th grade, coming out of high school, I was like 5, 6, 7 mixtapes in. So every year I would just keep coming with new tapes. But like around 11th grade, I had dropped the album called Sleeping in Class, and then we re-released it on Apple Music. I did this independently when I was like 17. Mm-hmm. We put Kendrick Lamar on one of the songs.
Whoa.
We put Mac Miller on one of the songs, and a few bonus songs. And then that was like top five on the Apple Music charts independently.
Uh-huh.
And then from there, we got a call. By the time I was in 12th grade, I was getting a call. We got a call from like Q-Tip and Jay-Z to go meet Jay-Z in New York. Wow. So I got flown to New York to meet with Jay-Z when I was in 12th grade.
What was that like?
That was crazy. I went, it was amazing. Like just going out there, we went to the Mercer Hotel. He was working on Watch the Throne.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then he just like pretty much wanted to meet me. You know, he was hearing about the music and stuff and we just chopped it up. And even that same year, Mac Miller brought me on tour on the West Coast run.
Uh-huh.
My 12th grade year was crazy, like in high school.
So you're missing tons of school to do all this epic ass shit?
Yeah, I was missing school, you know, going on the road, coming back. Then by the end of the year, I went to go meet with Jay. And then we ended up doing a management deal with Roc Nation. So okay. I was managed by Roc Nation for 5 years.
Uh-huh.
It was dope. It was a good business relationship.
But I mean, being in 12th grade, being on that level, what the fuck was it like to just all of a sudden have this much clout? Like, it must have been insane. Like, yeah. The way, just knowing what LA is like, knowing how, you know, kids in LA high schools, yeah, they are jaded, that they're around more lit shit than most people or whatever. But to be a rap star in LA is like the ultimate fucking thing you could do as a young man, more or less. Maybe be a basketball player or something is pretty up there too. But I mean, it must have just been insane to be like to still be in high school and still to be on that level.
Okay, I was hooping the whole time. I didn't quit basketball. Like till 11th grade, I played on varsity.
Really?
It was good. I had a good little season. You can check me out online. You feel me? I did my thing.
Yeah, you're multi-talented. You That's amazing.
But like after that 12th grade, I'm like, you know, I'm a pursuit of music 100%. Right. I had a certain like passion for the music. My pops wanted me to play basketball. He wanted me to stay with the sports.
Mm.
But I was like, I saw the vision for the music. I'm like, it's gonna work.
Right.
And I just stuck with it. You know,
I mean,
what I'm
did your dad understand that you had just had a meeting with Jay-Z, that was a pretty big deal?
Yeah, cause think about it, the whole basketball thing was before that.
Right.
The Jay-Z meeting and all that came at the end of the school year.
Okay.
This after I dropped two more tapes. I dropped Customized Greatly Volume 3. So I had a whole mixtape series, which was Customized Greatly. We did Volume 1, 2, and 3, all in high school. And these was like classic mixtapes that people really, you know, go back and listen to from years ago. But those mixtapes kind of got my name out there. And then like I did an album, Sleeping in Class. That was like really people start catching on. And then by the time I did Life Changes, that was like the first year out of high school I did an album called Life Changes. And then that's when it went like worldwide. I feel like the whole world took notice to what I was doing.
Mm. Man, like when I think about the difference or like the change that Odd Future sort of like personified, Odd Future and all the other shit that was coming out around it, like including you, and there was a lot of other shit at the same time, ASAP Mob, Lil B, fucking White Girl Mob, all kinds of shit. But it felt like Odd Future in particular was sort of like associated with a lot of like crazy ass like humor and like a totally different like attitude than we had maybe seen in rap, and that really stood out to a lot of people. But in Tyler in particular, just seemed like he was just so over the top, crazy ass jokes.
Like he calmed down since then.
Oh yeah,
he's still wild. But
I mean, there's a reason he got banned from Australia and shit. People always, when I was in Australia, everybody wanted to talk about that.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah,
he got banned. He got arrested a few times. I'm like, bro, really. Was going wild out here.
They're treating him like he was a fucking Klan member or some shit because he said something in a song.
I feel him though. He's just letting loose out here in the world, you know?
Right.
Just letting out the energy out.
Was that the vibe in your crew at that time, that you guys were like the dudes who were making the foul ass jokes and all the wild shit and all the ridiculous shit that like other people wouldn't do?
I mean, that's what Odd Future, I feel like, was known for. It was like great music and just a lot of great humor, a lot of crazy shit. Then I kind of was doing my own thing. Like I had my own brand, Peas and Carrots International. I was moving with my homies. We kind of was all working together, but that's kind of was like the disconnect where people thought like, why are you not in Odd Future no more? Why are you still, you know what I'm saying?
You kind of had your own thing going
too.
Yeah,
I just had my own little thing going. I went, you know, I went to school on the other side of town and certain stuff where we just, you know, we had our own lifestyles, you know what I'm saying? But other than that, we was brothers. Like we always support each other, do music together. It's like two brothers, like different walks of life, but we kind of like meet halfway, you know what I'm saying?
Were you skating at the time a lot too?
Yeah, I used to skate all through middle school. That was like the first thing I wanted to do was like be a skater.
Because like that whole era of like you guys, Odd Future, all coming out of LA was like the first time that we saw like cool kids coming up who were rapping and also could like skate, and we're super familiar with that culture.
Like the Ice Cream Skate Team. And
yeah.
I used to be on Hypebeast like checking shit out, you know what I'm saying? Like back
beast,
in middle school, just checking shit out like on the internet, you know, being hip to what's going on, like Terry Kennedy, just all the skate shit that was going on. You know what I'm saying?
You had never had somebody like TK coming out who was like this ill-ass skater who was basically a rapper. Yeah. You know, he was rapping and shit, but he just seemed like a rapper.
That was inspiring for a kid in the sixth grade, seventh grade. Like,
bro,
Kanye West was doing his thing. I was like, I was looking up to all the new wave shit, like the people that's being different. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Just standing up on some new shit in the generation. Because back then, it was all gangsta music.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, that was all rap could be to a certain extent. Like, obviously, you had Tribe. You had, like, all kinds of stuff. But for a large part, you know, you weren't used to hearing anything coming out of L.A. that wasn't gangster rap.
I think that's why people took a lot of notice to what I was doing. Because it was like, man, this kid from L.A., but he not. Like, he don't rap like just any artist coming out of L.A. He got, like, a certain vibe. Because when I came into when I got into music, I was listening to other type of music. I wasn't just listening to, you know what I'm saying, all gangster rap. I was listening to Tribe Called Quest and, like, MF Doom and Madlib and, you know, all them type of acts, you know what I'm saying? And it was, like, Nas. I was listening to Illmatic when I was in, like, 10th grade. Like, I got it to Illmatic. You know what I'm saying?
I felt like that was a time period where it first started to really become cool in rap to have, like, a really diverse set of knowledge about all the shit that's going on. You know, all these different types of music. Yeah. Maybe nobody had ever really, like, made that seem like it was important or cool before that.
Yeah.
It was, like, a weird change in
a lot of
culture.
Yeah, rap was, you know, at a renaissance back, like, in 2000, 2010. And, you know, everybody had their way. But, yeah, like, I think it's going back to, you know, all that real shit. Like, everybody love the real music and they love that real instrumentation. And I love the trap shit, too. I love 808s and, you know, all that shit. So it's just about mixing it together.
You feel like you were always destined to go in a different direction musically? Like, you were always going to go against the typical shit that was out in terms of, like, a lot of stuff now. It's like, it don't even sound like hip-hop unless it got 808s on it, right?
Yeah, I think I always went against the grain, like, I have my own way, my own sound. Mm. It's like having that integrity of, like, you know, what you represent. What do you feel like you are as an artist? I feel like a lot of people come in the game and they hear what people are doing or they hear what's hot and they be like, oh, I don't want to do something like that.
Uh-huh.
But ever since I've been dropping these tapes, people be like, yo, your music, you got a certain sound that we want to hear from you.
Mm.
And I mean, I take a lot of pride in that because it's like I got a fan base for that type of music that I created, that sound I created for myself. So it's like a certain stature they hold me at. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to hear me doing too much of that other shit. They want to hear me, like, doing what they know I'm capable of.
Yeah, that's like the weird integral decision you have to make as an artist is how much you want to go along with the status quo versus just fully being yourself.
But, like, I've been having fun, though. I've been just, you know what I'm saying? Like, even when they heard me on Wiz Khalifa, Royal Highness, on the on that new tape he dropped, that Royal Highness song, I was on auto-tune. Just switching up just trying new stuff with my voice. Like, all my new music, I'm rapping, but I'm on hip-hop beats. But I just tried to find, like, something new, you know what I'm saying, where I'm, like, hitting them with all angles.
How'd you end up on that? You still kicking with Wiz?
Yeah, that's my boy. Like, I'm part of Taylor Gang, basically.
Oh, really?
I mean, you know, I've been rocking with Wiz. You know, him and Snoop brought me on the High Road Tour, like, a couple years ago. And, I was on the intro on his last mixtape before the...
Really?
For his album drop.
That's crazy. Have you thought about signing with him?
I mean, you know, that's the bro. You know, I definitely would, you know, but it's PNC ITL. I definitely would rock with bro. You already know.
Right.
Yeah.
What about, so is it tough to go without blunts when you're around Wiz?
Nah, Wiz, he don't be tripping. I be telling him, like, bro, I'm on these backwoods, bro. I'm sorry. I don't really rock with the papers, like, too much. But, you know, when I'm with Wiz, I smoke a paper or two. But,
right. I just had Josh from Raw on here.
You said, oh, from Raw.
And he's, like, telling me how bad backwards are for me and shit. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, fuck. He gave me much raw shit.
But I like Fronto Leaf.
Oh, yeah, that's what you're on now?
Yeah, I've been rocking with those. They're a little more natural.
Yeah. I think he would disagree. I think he'd say it's all tobacco. It's all the same shit.
No, it is. I think Fronto, you know, a little more natural.
Yeah.
A little less chemicals.
A little bit. I mean, I do. Sometimes I have friends who come around and they'll just smoke spliffs. And I'm like, damn, maybe I like this. Maybe I should switch over.
The splits. I was in Europe with Chris Brown.
That's all they do.
We were smoking splits in Amsterdam. Splits. It was cool.
You were into it?
Yeah, I rock with it. It's cool.
Just because you couldn't get woods out there?
There's nothing wrong with a spliff. It's like, it feels like you're smoking a backwood.
I like it, honestly. It gives you a weird ass head high, though. It'll put me fucking making me want to take a nap. That fucking tobacco smashing you in the face, especially because a lot of people in the UK roll, like, they're 90% tobacco in that shit.
You just can't put too much.
Yeah. But they smoke it nonstop. That's why I think it's funny. I'm always making fun of my UK fans because I'm like, you guys swear you're potheads and you're smoking. No, there ain't no weed in that shit.
Wait, what you got tattooed on your head?
What do I got on this side?
That shit crazy.
I forget. I got Lisa Simpson on one side, and then I got, it says the come up.
You got
and
the
I got
knife right there?
Yeah, that's, it's a knife.
That's crazy. You know, 21 Savage.
You know, it's a knife.
That shit hard.
I think he had it before me. He went for the forehead, though, man. I would look crazy as shit with a forehead tattoo.
I might have to try one out.
You don't? You got any tattoos?
I got tats, like chest tats, and shoulder. And I got one on my leg, too. No, I got to get some more shit, though.
You going for the face?
Shit, neck. I'll probably get the neck.
Neck.
I should get one, though, right here.
Damn.
No, I'm fine.
Nah, you should
I don't know, man.
You should get your whole face just all vegetables.
I make enough money, you never know.
You might fuck around.
Make a big enough bag.
Where's most of your money come from these days?
Man, the music, man. Okay. I've never had a regular job in my life.
Really?
But I respect the grind and all that and the hustle, but I've never had to work for anyone in my life. It's been music.
That's crazy.
Peas and Carrots International.
What about Epic? That was who you were with before, right?
Yeah, I was signed to Epic Records. I was managed by Roc Nation. That was dope. It was a dope, dope journey through the industry, like learning the business and putting out my first album, Live and Grow, it was a pretty dope album. And I had my ups and downs with the, like, industry, with the record label. I don't know. It was cool. It was a good experience. It was a good learning experience.
But you ultimately came away from it like, nah, I'm going to stay independent?
I mean, I'm back, like, slightly independent. I got a partnership deal. I got deals on the table. But, you know, I'm just working. Like, I'm not in a rush for nothing. Like, I'm more just building my company up right now, my infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
What do you think? Compare, like, being a rapper, like, a new rapper right now, from what you could gather, to, like, what it was like being a new dope rapper in 2011.
Yeah.
It's a lot has changed.
The streaming world, the game is different. It's like, it's a lot more opportunities for, like, independent artists.
Mm.
That's what I'm seeing. Like, you know, it's a lot more respect, a lot more opportunity for you to go get it on your own than it is to, like, you know, go with the big company.
Yeah.
But if you go with the big company, that's cool. It's just they got to understand what you coming with. They got to understand you, and they got to be willing to build with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can't just expect you to just make everything hot, and they just, you know what I'm saying? They got to at least be there to build with you. You know,
yeah, it's weird because now there's it's a lot easier for you to get your stuff up on Apple Music and Spotify and to get paid like that, to get shows without necessarily having a label and stuff. Like, man, sometimes I end up in conversations with A&Rs about what the music game was like even like a few years ago. And they're like, we were talking about Kodak the other day, and they were like, bro, you didn't see any, like, street rapper come up without a cosign before Kodak. And I was just like, and this is, like, really smart people telling me this. And I'm, like, thinking about it, like, well, I wasn't thinking about the industry like that at that time. Because I was like,
a lot of artists get cosign.
Yeah.
But a lot of artists get on, you know what I'm saying, because cosigns.
And, like, but you know.
I've been telling people that, like.
Chief Keef.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different people, actually, over, like, a period of time, like, in those early 2010 type era, where a lot of people were getting signed and, like, coming out in ways that we had never seen before, you know?
Yeah. The game definitely been changing more and more. It's, like, it's big deals on the table if you believe in yourself, you know what I'm saying? Like, when I just dropped my album Organic, like, I put a rollout behind it, but it was an organic rollout. That's why I really called the album that. Like, everything I did for this album been natural. It's just direct to the fans. Like, I didn't even realize how many people was waiting on an album for me, you know what I'm saying? But just the direct to the consumers and the straight Spotify releases, Apple Music, like, everybody just getting it. The whole world is on Apple Music, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So it's just crazy how the new generation is able to spread music faster.
2011 was a crazy-ass time because that was, like, CDs were over.
Yeah.
But then the streaming world hadn't, like, fully developed yet. So it's like people were really listening to music on MySpace and on blogs and shit. And it just, like, you know, that, like, certain people I talked to, like, I was interviewing fucking Ice Burgundy comes to mind. And he was mentioning, he's like, yeah, like, I came out, but when I was popping was when the labels weren't really throwing checks at people and shit, because it was in between. It was when artists, even if you were popping, weren't really making any money.
Yeah, now it's like artists know their worth. You got to know your worth.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's why the bags keep getting bigger for people who want to sign, even though it is just an advance and everything.
Yeah.
But, like, there's so much more money for the labels to be making. At that time, 2011, the labels were scared. They didn't know what the fuck to do with these super, super internet-friendly artists, you know?
That's what a lot of people tell me. Like, I signed my deal right before the game switched up. That was one of the things that kind of, you know, messed me up too. Cause, like, I signed my deal and dropped my album right before, like, you know, in 2015, where everything was like changing over to streaming and stuff like that. But, you know, it was dope though. It was still a dope experience just to be a part of that, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Before everything changed up.
When you come to this area, does it trip you out? I imagine you probably spent a lot of time on Melrose and Fairfax and Fairfax. Shit back 2011 Man, area.
Every time I come over here, I get memories and all that. Like, I just remember them days. Like, but it still feel the same. But yeah, like, those are the good days, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Before Diamond switched their store to the big store, when Hundreds had this store over there in the corner, like the small store.
That being gone is weird for me, and I ain't even been like, around that long.
Yeah, nah, but it's still classic old Fairfax, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a blessing. I had my own store, the Peace and Care store in Beverly for like 4 or 5 years. We end up, the building ended up getting like bought out by like a health food store.
Oh, word.
Which is ironic.
It was on Beverly right by Fairfax?
Beverly and Edinburgh.
Okay. Yeah,
we had a clothing, the Peace and Care store. It was open for like 5 years.
Okay.
It did good, too. It was love.
Yeah.
I need to open a new one up.
How do you view like the state of LA hip hop specifically these days? Because it feels like, and I realize I'm partisan because I'm out here and I'm more familiar with all these artists and shit, but it feels like there's like a wave that is way bigger than anything we've seen in a long time in terms of like LA based music.
I'm happy with all the new artists coming out. It's a lot of new dope talent coming out. You know, Shoreline Mafia, Blueface, everybody, Roddy Ricch. It's a bunch of new artists coming out of LA right now. I'm happy about everybody coming out. We finna go crazy. I think LA we've been one of the most talented, you know what I'm saying, cities when it comes to music, and just for the culture, we've been setting trends and coming with that real, you know what I'm saying? And I think now, you know what I'm saying, it's like a more important time than ever for the West Side to turn up for sure.
Facts.
Long live Nip Hustle, you know what I'm saying? Long live my brother. You know what I'm saying? Long live Mac Miller.
Facts. You know we got to talk about both of them.
Mac Meezy.
Well, okay, let's do Mac Miller because I know you were super close with him. Yeah. What? How did you guys actually meet?
We met when I dropped the album Sleeping in Class, 10th, 11th grade. And then Mac actually hit me on Twitter. Like, he had, like, sent me a message like, yo, this album crazy. He like, bro, I want to bring you on tour. Like, that's how genuine it was.
But
it
was he a big artist to you at that time?
I had just kind of found out about him.
Yeah, because like he must have been new then.
Yeah, he was pretty new. He had just dropped the Kids project. That project was just catching on. He was catching a wave. Like, he was coming up, and he was doing his thing.
He was one of those first artists who built a crazy, ridiculously huge fan base. Totally, yeah.
Just being direct with the fans.
Like, yeah, when you think about that Kids project and shit, and the fact that that couldn't even have been on streaming platforms because it had mad unlicensed samples and shit. The early days of the internet when it still, that was the Wild Wild West part two.
Yeah.
Like, after they figured out about samples and stuff, when everybody could put everything online, but nobody had any way to control, like, the samples and shit.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you crazy. Damn, that's crazy.
That album was crazy, too. Like, he was catching a wave, and he hit me. Like, yo, I'm doing a West Coast tour. I'm like, yo, that'll be crazy. You know, we just, you know, exchanged information on Twitter. And then from there, he brought me on tour for, like, 2 weeks. That's when I missed 2 weeks of high school, 12th grade. And then that tour was crazy. Like, we killed, like, 10 shows all up the West Coast. Mm. That was, like, one of my first tours.
Really?
And then from there, we just, like, the energy was so real, like our relationship, we just kicked off. It was so like organic, so natural. He like, bro, man, this tour was crazy. He like, I got another tour coming up, you know what I'm saying, in about a few months after, you know, after I dropped the new album. He like, I want to bring you on tour again.
Uh-huh.
And then by that time, I graduated high school, and then he was doing the Blue Slide Park tour.
Right.
And that's when he dropped his first album. And he had the biggest independent album, like one of the biggest independent albums of all time. He did like 150,000. Sales in the first week independently. And from there, we went on tour. It was 66 shows around the whole United States.
Jeez.
He brought me on tour. I was going to go to college.
Wow.
But I'm like, you know, like, Mac got this tour on the table. Like, I gotta pursue this music. Like, everything lining up.
That was once in a lifetime. Because
I'm like,
right,
I didn't have no, I had a deal. I had certain deals, and Roc Nation was like hitting me up. But I didn't know whether I should just go to college, you know what I'm saying? Or should I pursue the music 100%. But when bro threw the 3 month tour at me, it was like it was a shoe-in.
What the fuck was that like? Three months on the road with Mac Miller. You're young as shit.
That shit would change my life, bro. Like,
really?
That shit was insane. Like, it was like I even got homesick sometimes, bro. Like, being gone, that was my first time being away that long. Like, that shit was crazy. Like, it was just like it was surreal, but it was like a life-changing experience. We killed 66 shows around the whole U.S. We hit markets that rap. We did one of the first rap shows in South Dakota.
Wow.
The show we did, they told us, like, they don't even do rap shows. Mm. But Mac Miller's show was the first show. I think it was at University of South Dakota. So we was, like, breaking barriers. Like, every show was sold out. I was like, bro, your fan base, they was so loyal and just came out to every show.
It must have been trippy to just be around his fan base at, like, mad colleges and all these, yeah, like, white kids and shit. Like,
and they love me, too.
Like an audience that you didn't even necessarily know existed being in L.A. Yeah. and shit. It's, like, yeah, a very different
a
side
different
of hip-hop.
Audience. Like, yeah. Like the Midwest, everywhere, like a whole different crowd. Huh. And it was sold out every time. And just to see how they loved him, how they looked up to him was crazy. Like they looked, they was like, Mac Miller was like their hero, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he still is, you know what I'm saying? And it was crazy to experience that. And like the way his fan base embraced me was crazy. Like they showed me mad love. It's like my followers just kept going up every show.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I hit the stage, it was just love. So. You know, that whole experience was just like, you know, it was crazy. I forever love him for that. You know what I'm saying? I was just like, he know, like, that was life changing.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like, we ended up doing that. And from there, he ended up coming back. He moved back to LA, to Studio City. That's when he did the MTV show,
uh-huh,
the Mac Miller Life MTV show. And we was just in the studio all the time back around that time. That's when Earl started coming through, Schoolboy Q. We all started linking up. And it was just, the rest was history.
Did you kind of lose touch with him in terms of like talking on a real consistent basis?
Yeah, that's crazy you asked that. Cause like the last year or so, a year and a half, 2 years, we kind of, you know, lost touch a little bit. But, you know, we was all on our own path doing our own thing. But I had just talked to him like a couple weeks before. And he was telling me like, hope everything's good. Like, he like, keep on working. Like, I see you working and stuff like that. And I was telling him congrats on the new album and stuff like that. He was telling me thank you, and from there, that was probably the last time I talked to him.
Do you think, because, I mean, I've heard people try to act like Mac was in, like, a bad place mentally, yeah, which people are always going to try to make it out like that when you pass, you know, yeah, or not always, but when it seems drug-related, people are always going to make, yeah, it like you were depressed or whatever. Yeah. And then I also heard people say he was fine, like, he was doing great.
Yeah.
He just probably got some shit that wasn't what he thought it was,
yeah,
and that, you know, he just got unlucky.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like he was up and down. He always a happy person. Like, his energy was always, happy. He was always the brightest person in the room. Like, you would never catch him mad, you know what I'm saying? I was always the one, like, I'd be mad more than bro. Like, he always happy. But, I mean, the last couple of times, it seemed like he was just growing a lot. It seemed like he was growing and thinking about a lot of new things and, like, soul searching, you know what I'm saying? It seemed like he was finding himself. And throughout that, you know, things happen, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sad. You go to the funeral and shit like that?
I mean, I think it was a private funeral.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mac had a private funeral with his family. Yeah.
Do you still, I don't know, did you know that the response, like the way that people spoke so positively when he passed, it's actually really only comparable,
yeah,
to like somebody like Nipsey, like,
yeah,
where it's just a blanket of 100% positivity,
crazy,
when they pass. It's kind of crazy,
yeah,
when somebody goes out who had that kind of connection,
yeah,
with
like
people.
They had a like certain respect.
Mm.
Like they was both certain type of artists. I feel like they both like built themselves up independently and both had a certain type of respect in the game that a lot of artists haven't been able to achieve yet. You get what I'm saying?
Like, both of them, damn near nobody had anything negative to say about them.
Yeah, like
during their life,
they were
really
loved
either
on like a certain type of level.
Right.
And I knew that, like even seeing Mac, like I told you, the way his tour was packed every show, like I knew people really loved him. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was a certain level of like his fans loved him to a certain level that I never really seen before. Same with Nipsey, like the respect he was getting, you know, even before he passed, like I saw it firsthand. And then after he passed, just seeing people really like wake up to it and really, you know, show him that respect that he really truly deserves,
mm-hmm,
you know, was dope to see.
How'd you meet Nipsey?
I mean, I met Nipsey like years ago, even when he first got, you know, first started doing his thing, around the time he dropped his first single, Hustle in the House. He was already dropping mixtapes. This was around like 2010. It's funny, my brother put up a tweet on Twitter, like one day we ran into Nipsey. We was like walking. I was walking home from school, and we ran into Nipsey driving in his 2-door Benz. He was driving. He ran into us. We like, Nipsey, we waved. We flagged him down.
Uh-huh.
He pulled up on us. We like, bro, we rock with your music. My brother was telling him he was a fan,
That's a man of the people right there. If you're gonna let a motherfucker flag you down on the street,
like for real though, like we was young niggas walking down the street,
yeah.
And then he saw us, and then my brother like, this is my brother Casey Veggie, and then Nipsey was like, Casey Veggie, like I heard of you, bro. I seen you on the internet. Like he like, I already seen. He like, I know who you are. Like let's link up.
Yeah.
So that's how me and Nip met, like just on the street.
That's lit.
And then he already like tapped in. We just met on some real LA shit. You know.
People
what I'm saying?
will be talking about like an artist they work with, and they'll be like, oh yeah, it was an organic connection. Yeah. And then in reality, it's like the label literally put you in a studio together. Yeah, flagging him down in the car, that's an organic connection.
That was just like when I was in high school type shit. He was already dropping his mixtapes, doing his thing. So that's just crazy when I think back. Like, you know what I'm saying? Then ever since then, we just been like brothers, you know what I'm saying? In the music game, like every time we link up, it's like a West Side connection. Like, right. You know what I'm saying? A real family connection. Me, him, Dom Kennedy, like Kendrick Lamar, the whole TDE. Everybody coming out the West, it's like we all family, I feel like.
Yeah, was it kind of, did it have any like real effect on you when Nip passed? Like where was your mind at when you heard that?
I was like in a, man, for real. Like I was in an emotional dump for like at least a month.
Mm.
Like we was just sitting back just thinking like what's going on, you know what I'm saying? We didn't know what was going on, like how to really accept it or how to take it, you know what I'm saying? But you know, life is what it is. You just never know, you know, what's gonna hit you, you know what I'm saying? You'll wake up one day and not know, you know, what's coming, but you just gotta stay prayed up, stay blessed. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, I don't think nobody expected that. You know, same with Mac, nobody expected that. But yeah, with Nip, like it with both of them, it broke me down, you know what I'm saying? It pushed my music back. Like I wasn't able to drop no music.
Really?
It took me like another 8 months to really finish the organic album and drop that. Like, but other than that, I was just like, yeah, I was down, you know what I'm saying, for sure. But you just gotta I went to Nipsey's funeral and, you know, just seeing all the people, you know, celebrating his life and just, you know, scrolling on Twitter, scrolling on Instagram for hours. Like, you know what I'm saying? I still go to his page sometimes, like, just check it out. Like, I be thinking about, bro, like, you know, you know, that shit crazy. You know, he didn't deserve to go like that.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he had a bunch of shit ahead of him and Mac and a lot of young dudes, man. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to homie Official that just, you know, DJ Official just lost his life in L.A. He Grammy-nominated, Grammy-winning producer with DJ Mustard.
Yeah.
And it's just a lot of young cats losing their life too soon, man, and just doing great things. And, you know, it ain't right. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. You never get into the drugs and shit, really?
Nah, not really. Like, just, you know, a little weed here and there.
Mm.
You know, not really no other drugs like that.
Yeah, you seem like you always kind of avoided like a lot of the bad stuff in life. You just have a good head on your shoulders. You think, who do you thank for that? Your parents?
Definitely my parents. I always try to be like a little forward thing. I get wild sometimes where I don't really, you know, I don't be caring too much. But
I'm not saying you're a fucking angel. I'm sure you haven't lived the life of an angel.
No, but I definitely,
you know.
People tell me like you got a good head on your shoulders. You know, I ain't no dummy. I ain't never really been a dummy.
Mm.
Always, you know. Try to think twice about it, you know what I'm saying? Make the right decisions.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Is it crazy seeing,
definitely
like...
thank my parents, Big Joe, thank my mom.
They're both still around?
Yeah, they dope. They super dope.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy. As long as we're just talking about famous friends of yours, is it crazy to see all the shit that happened to Kendrick? What was it like when you met him?
Oh, man. Kendrick, I remember when he was K-Dot. He was killing. I knew he was gifted with the rap when I first heard his music.
Mm-hmm.
He been grinding at it for a long time, been hungry for it too. So when he blew up, I'm like, he deserved that big time. Like, he at the top of the game for sure. And he hopped on one of my songs on Sleeping in Class Deluxe. It was crazy.
Uh-huh.
He killed the remix. I did a show, opened up for him back in like 2010. It was crazy just to see him come, just climb all the way up to the top.
Right.
He deserved it.
I know this tattoo artist that told me that he tattoos Kendrick and then Kendrick just rolls through with one dude, like super low key.
Yeah, he low key. That's what I like about Kendrick. He never been into the fame and all that. He always just did his own thing.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
Definitely. Did you sort of lose touch with Tyler over the years?
No, like I seen Tyler like not too long ago. We hollered at each other for a couple hours. We ran into each other outside at a pizza spot. We talked for like an hour.
Really?
Yeah, that's my dog. Like, we just, everybody doing their own thing, you know what I'm saying? You know, everybody got their own life.
Uh-huh.
But, like, yeah, we definitely need to reconnect on the music. You know, I performed at the first Our Future Carnival. I need to get back over there, rock with my dog.
I still never been
to
that
shit.
But, yeah,
he doing some great things out here. He really killing the game. Like, just being an innovative, you know, like an independent, just creative all across the board. And just to see what, just to watch what he did, you know what I'm saying, coming up and seeing what the homies, like Travis Scott, all the homies, they killing the game. It's great to see.
Tyler or DJ Khaled?
What you mean?
Which one's better? We're the number one in your eyes.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy. That was
Isn't that the funniest
Damn,
beef?
That was crazy.
If you're somebody like Tyler, and it's God, I admire the fact
they
that
both
he's.
It, though,
I admire the fact that he's been able to keep his mouth shut about that shit so much, because I would be the first person on Twitter just dying laughing. I would end up looking like the asshole.
I'm surprised he ain't responding. Now, he respect DJ Khaled, but you know, he don't want to feed into that.
But like that video that Khaled made where he was talking about like mysterious music and shit, like I could just imagine Tyler thinking that was crazy. The funniest, craziest shit on earth.
Hey, yo, I gotta see that video. I ain't really checking. I know he said some crazy
Khaled's
shit. He
like,
was
like,
this
mad. Is real music from real people for the streets. It's not mysterious music that you never gonna hear anywhere. It's just like dissing Tyler. So it just sounded so crazy. This is DJ Khaled, who has like, built his entire brand on positivity, like, motivation, never hate.
No shit like that.
It was so weird, bro.
Tyler ain't tripping. That shit is just hilarious. He probably laughed at that shit. That's funny.
Where's your head at in terms of your music these days? Like, what motivates you? Do you ever have a hard time staying motivated in the game, just having been around for so long?
No, I think I got a lot of new heights to reach. Like, I'm always trying to get better and better with it. Every project come with some better shit, come with some new, tell the people something new about me they might not know. You know what I'm saying? Just open up. Like, I've been getting more vulnerable in my music, just like, not being scared to, like, you know, or not having a wall up, you know what I'm saying? Like, on this album, I'm talking about all type of stuff, from, like, going through stuff with the label and going through stuff with my homies and, you know, losing friends when it comes to the music business. And, you know, the fame come with a lot of stuff, good and bad. So I just like to rap about it all and rap about what's really going on in L.A. in the streets, because it's like, you know, it's a lot of shit, good and bad, going on out here. So I think a lot of artists rap about, you know, the money and, you know, the cars and clothes and shit, but I definitely been trying to switch it up. I always tried to, like, you know, have my own lane with it, and that's definitely something I'm going to continue doing.
What's your read on, like, the overall state of rap these days, though? Do you think, like, are you feeling where rap seems like it's at? Do you feel like?
Yeah, I love what's going on. It's a lot of dope music, shit. L.A., it's a lot of hip-hop. Atlanta going crazy with, the trap music, the melodies. The whole South killing the game right now.
Just talking about Lil' Keed.
Yeah, the whole South going crazy. I love what Atlanta doing. I love the trap music. I love the 808s. You know what I'm saying? With the musical sounds with it. Mm-hmm. All type of shit. So I love all type of music, man. I think rap is in a dope space. I think a lot of people be complaining, like, oh, the new generation and stuff like that. But, I mean, I think it's some artists from the new generation that still got something to say, still speaking to the people, you know what I'm saying, directly.
Definitely.
So, you know, it's about who the fans choose and who the fans put at the top, you know what I'm saying?
Do you who do you feel like your fan base is these days, or who do you mostly hear from in terms of the people listening to your shit? I was watching your Sway freestyle, which was pretty rad actually the other day. But they were taking calls, and it was fucking wild hearing how fucking geeked up some of your fans were.
It's crazy. I be seeing people all the time. They show me love. You know what I'm saying? I get a lot of love, I feel like, in the rap world. I mean, I'm definitely like an underdog, I feel like, but the amount of love I get, I don't really pay attention to that. I got, like, them real fans that really pay attention, really listen to the music, really listen to the lyrics, you know what I'm saying, and really want to hear what you got to say. And I think I got fans that want to turn up, too. I got fans that want to have a good time. I got the ladies. You know, I think I got something for everybody. You know, I think that's one thing I am as an artist. Like, you know, I got a little something for everybody. So I don't really try to put myself in a box or, like, oh, I want to be this type of artist. I want to kind of, like, just, you know, have a lot of integrity and do me and be authentic, but, you know, I want to give everybody something.
Definitely. Do you are you still all about going on tour and shit? You were just talking about being on tour with Chris Brown. You still about that?
Yeah, I got some. I'm planning an organic tour probably right now, like a mini tour for the album. Just go hit a few markets, and then probably hop on tour with one of the homies or something. Me and Rocky Fresh about to drop this new album.
Oh, for real?
Fresh Veggies 2 is going crazy. So we probably gonna do a few shows together as well.
Oh shit, that's crazy! I ain't heard about him in a minute.
Yeah, that's my dog.
Really? Okay.
That's my brother. We got a new tape. We dropped Fresh Veggies a few years back, but the new one finna drop. We got some crazy shit on there.
Oh shit, that's lit. What's the day in the life for your ass like these days?
Man, I just be living life. I be living like a king every day. I live like I'm Drake or something.
Really?
I live like I'm at the top of the game.
On
man.
The jet?
Yeah. I live like I'm at the top of the world, man. Like, I just be enjoying life, appreciating the little things, appreciating the big things,
mm-hmm.
staying blessed, staying out the way, shopping, you know, being smart, trying to make smarter decisions every day.
Yeah.
Just enjoying life, man, trying to be happy.
You ever think about going vegan?
Some days. I've had my days.
Just with the name, right? It's almost like there's got to be some people that expect you to, right?
I go to Simply Salad every now and then.
Oh,
you know
I used to be out there all the time. When I lived downtown, I was on Simply Salad, bro.
You know, I'll pull up. But I don't know, man. I like all type of food. But yeah, the vegan lifestyle, that's where it's at.
We're on Sweet Green
Look
now.
Look at you. Sweet Shout Greens, sweet tender greens, you know.
Yeah, you got to
do it. We mess around. We get our share of healthy lifestyle. But
this like McDonald's out here in Sweet Green.
I went to McDonald's
tender greens.
Recently.
How was it?
That shit good.
Oh, yeah,
The breath is good.
The breath is good. I ain't had it in a minute. No, yeah.
Hey, it is what it is.
Yo, if I ever find my... That's why I can't drink lean, bro. If I drink lean, I'm eating McDonald's.
Good red.
Mm.
Sip that good red.
That good red. Those good golden arches.
Damn, down y'all that good red. He poured up right now.
He did come and pour it up, huh? Shit. I did see that. I just didn't say anything
Mason.
About it.
He like the front runner of PNC ITL. He been handling all my business. Like,
okay.
He like he been handling, going crazy. My team strong right now. You know, the city supported me. LA showed me a lot of love. I'm ready to go crazy.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. All right. So what's the game plan? What do you want people to be paying attention for? Where should they look to find out about what you got going on?
I got, check on my website, caseyveggie.com. The new album, Organic, out right now. Is going crazy. Working on a new project with Rocky, and I got a new album, new mixtape, like really two to three projects I'm working on.
Oh yeah.
So like, yeah, you plan on seeing a lot of veggies coming soon, you know what I'm saying? A lot of young CV. I just don't plan on stopping, just staying consistent. I got my clothing line, PNC INTL, Peas and Carrots International.
Uh-huh.
So I've been doing that for like 5 years, 6 years.
Yeah, how's that going?
It's going crazy. I mean, I kind of took a break from it a little bit, but I'm about to drop a whole new line with that. I got my merch for the album, you see it. Organic merch right here.
Okay.
We finna drop this. And I got the hard copies for my album. Dropping hard copies like this week. So it's a whole lot of stuff, man. New billboards, new posters, you know.
Oh, shit.
We trying to get our album on the buses, on the metro buses, running through the city and all that.
I just seen the Tyga album. I saw a double-decker bus with just all Tyga. Yeah. I was like, man, the Tyga bus, that's crazy.
I mean, I'm just thinking like a CEO, man. I'm thinking like a CEO would think, but I'm a rapper, I'm an artist. But I'm just trying to do other things. Like I got meetings with my PR, Darren. Mm-hmm. He does like PR for just like philanthropy, like giving back to the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But we just trying to do a lot of stuff for the city and like for the kids and all type of shit, man. Just, you know, expect to see a lot of shit from me.
Fire.
I got a new video dropping this week.
Oh yeah?
It's called for my song The Ceiling.
Okay.
Off Organic. It's going crazy.
That's fire.
Make sure you check out that new video.
I'm gonna check that out for sure. Yeah. Hey, I appreciate you coming on the show, man.
You already know.
It was dope.
That shit was dope.
Dope getting to connect and shit. Man. Dope to get to, you know, have a historical record of an important LA figure.
No jumper, man. Y'all going crazy. I appreciate that. Y'all dropped that broke video. That shit went crazy.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah, y'all been showing love. I appreciate you.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciate you, man.
PNC ITL, Young Veggies. You already know what it is. We out here.
There
you
go.
We going crazy.
Yeah.
Follow your dreams. Go get the bag. Go get the money.
Facts.
Swap.
No Jumper. Coolest podcast in the world. Check us out on YouTube, SoundCloud, and iTunes. Pow. Casey Veggies.